Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Show Radio. This is episode 605 of The Show. I'm your host, Andrew.
Hey, guys, and I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. And we're going to jump right into it, guys. Head over to theshowradio.info. Check out our past shows while you're there. Subscribe and tell a friend about the show. This news today was very, very shocking, and it shook the gaming industry. Microsoft to buy Activision Blizzard for nearly $70 billion. I think to be exact, it's 68.7. Daniela, let's talk about this.
That is definitely one for the books. It's like the biggest deal to even happen in the history of gaming right now, at least as far as I'm aware. Because that is a huge acquisition. And you know what's crazy is that I think it was not even too long ago that, you know, the Xbox made another acquisition, and then that blew our minds right there. Like, and then they did this. Like, I'm not the biggest Xbox fan, but this is huge, and this, I don't even know what this can bring for us, but I'm excited by it.
Yeah, definitely excited. So some of the games include Call of Duty, of course, Warcraft, Candy Crush, Tony Hawk, Diablo, Overwatch, Spyro, Hearthstone, Guitar Hero, Crash Bandicoot, StarCraft, and more join Team Xbox as a team. We are on a mission to extend the joy and community of gaming to everyone on the planet. So this is January 18th. Depending on when you're listening to this, this is absolutely massive. So initial thoughts, and then we'll jump into some details. How are you feeling about it?
That just like we are, what, 2.5 weeks into 2022 and yeah. There's these huge things that are already happening. I mean, yeah, the deal isn't going to close until I think June of 2023. So there's like a 12 to 18 month, I think they stated that, before it fully closes. But the fact that, you know, it's going out on their socials, this is huge news that they're talking about it. What I want to know, and this is just that, all of these changes that all of these employees are going through, like, oh, okay, well, you know, you had Activision, Blizzard, King. They acquired King last year. And King, if you don't know, like, Activision wanted to jump into the whole mobile scene because that's where they're lacking. King is known for Candy Crush. And then they acquired it. And then I have to assume that around that time that, you know, possible conversations were also happening of like, hey, Xbox, hey, Activision Blizzard, you want to be buddies? What kind of buddies you want to be? And then this happens, you know, because these types of conversations don't just happen overnight. It's not like they went out for lunch last week and, you know, hey, this sounds like a great idea. We should go through with this. My people, call your people, and then bam, come back Tuesday and like, here's big news. There's a lot of things that kind of like concern me, because that's just a lot going on. And I always feel for these employees, and they have things going on, these transitions, these changes. Where do they stand? You've seen it in different studios before in the past where, you know, they merge with another team and then some get let go, some stay, and it's not quite the same. I mean, as a business standpoint, this is huge. Individuals, you know, and I'm not just talking about developers, I'm even talking about like HR, you're talking about you know, people who work in the marketing. Those are really big teams that work for all of these companies. Yeah. And then you have the whole, you know, fighting for equal rights, which has been a huge thing with Kotak. So I'm excited, but I'm wary about it. Like, I'm going to be keeping an eye.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. So if you're wondering which companies are involved in terms of the Activision umbrella, you have Beenox. I'm just going to name a few here. As you mentioned, King, Infinity Ward, High Moon Studios, you know, Legendary there, Major League Gaming, Raven Software, Sledgehammer Games, Toys for Bob. I've heard different things about this particular one where there was potential maybe layoffs with Toys for Bob, and if it still fit into the things that they're going to currently do because of Crash Bandicoot. So I've heard some mixed words there, or murmurings. I'm not sure exactly what's going on with Toys for Bob, but you have Treyarch in there as well. And it's pretty much every team across Activision Blizzard. And the other thing I wanted to bring to this conversation, Danielle, I wanted to hear your thoughts on, is Overwatch, okay? Now, Overwatch is a game that, you know, I enjoy watching. You know, I've played it briefly, but I really appreciated what I played. But they announced the second one, but we haven't really heard anything after that. What are your thoughts on that series and the future of that based on the fact that it's quiet right now for Overwatch?
I'm not too worried about it. I definitely think that Overwatch 2 is definitely still in the play. It's being developed. There's no way they're going to be dropping that. I think it would be absolutely ridiculous if somehow, some way in this transition, that gets dropped. Like, I can't see that. I feel like there's still a lot for them to work on still. Like, they've given some teasers. They put some content out there about it to keep the interest up there. But I still feel like it's not going anywhere.
Gotcha.
I really hope, because it was great about Overwatch. I'm not like the biggest fan, but I really do enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. I got into that game really late, but it was like really smooth for me to jump into it. Was it a little bit toxic? Yes, because those people who've been playing for like a really long time, but the people I got to play with that were friends made the experience a lot of fun. So what I still want to see it be able to come out on all platforms. I don't want it to just be Xbox and PC exclusive. Granted, I will be playing it on PC. But that's a joyful game that I feel everybody should be able to, you know, enjoy and get on. I think that maybe there might be some a little bit of delays here because of this transition, because of possible, you know, reworking around, not necessarily the devs that are on it, but, you know, the program managers and, you know, going through this. But I definitely don't see it like going anywhere. Might take a little bit longer to come out, but I still think it's in play.
Gotcha. So until the transaction closes, Activision Blizzard and Microsoft Gaming will continue to operate independently. Once the deal is complete, the Activision Blizzard business will report to me being a CEO, Phil Spencer, right? As CEO of Microsoft Gaming. And then they also showed the new chart of the leadership, the gaming leadership team. The structure of that team is pretty solid, for sure. Any concern about, so we can even touch on, you know, what we think Sony may do and the immediate future based on this massive news. So let's touch on that a little bit, and then we'll do some details on the articles that we saw.
Okay, so my biggest concern about this, is this exciting? Cool? Yes, it is. But my biggest concern about this is that, yeah, Microsoft, you know, develops and produces and, you know, puts out and publishes their own games. And they have their own console. Sony does the same thing too. But when you start buying up all of these studios, like, is this going to transform our quote-unquote console wars when, you know, the next generation, which I hope does not come out for another 5 years, how we look at it? I mean, Sony has definitely got to do something, because Microsoft now owns some really, really great studios that's under their belt. I don't want to go into this entire, like, mode or era, whatever you may call it, where you have these platforms now just buying the studios and possibly making, okay, well, these games that are coming out from the studios from this point forward is going to be exclusive to our console, because now that's where you're just really deciding, okay, I want the PS6, because we know it's probably going to be called PS6, you know, because it has, not that there's any talks, not that there's any rumors right now, but, you know, oh, they own Square Enix, oh, they have this, oh, they have that, oh, Xbox has their XYZs of all of these studios, and that's what's going to be the deciding factor. I think that really, really narrows narrows it down. So I hope that in the long history of things, even with these consoles, these, you know, these platforms buying up studios, that they still make games that are, yeah, they're going to have their exclusives. I expect that. But that the vast majority that we've grown to love playing on any platform they want and having that choice remains and stays intact. That is my biggest concern.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited with everything that we're seeing right now with the gaming industry. Now, for me, I know we kind of laugh about it in the past, you know, and even previous episodes that we've recorded in terms of what the console war is at this point. And for me, I was thinking about this earlier before we recorded, is the console war will always live in the hearts of those who are pushing that narrative, right? I think at this point, if we're looking at the industry as a whole and how everything is, you know, cross-platform and cross-play, you know, it's really not about the plastic that we're using or hardware, whatever, that we're using to, you know, play these things. It's about the connectivity, you know, interoperability of everything as it relates to the gaming industry as a whole. So I think that where we are right now, it is pretty fascinating to see what Microsoft is doing. And as you mentioned earlier, this is only the beginning of the year. But what's going to happen in spring, you know, and what announcements are we going to see, you know, June, July? You know, they're saying this deal is going to take anywhere between 12 and 18 months, according to Phil Spencer. This is super exciting to me. And I'm just glad to that we're able to, you know, talk about it and just share, you know, our excitement for it.
Yeah, I'm definitely coming at it more as a gamer, as a fan, than, you know, a journalist about it. Because for me right now, it's a little bit hard to be appropriately objective about the situation. I just have my concerns. It's definitely exciting. It definitely pushes the competition. And that's, I think that's a big thing that I can really look at. It when it increases the competition, you can only expect bigger and better things out of both. Okay, you know what? I'm not even going to bring up Nintendo. Nintendo, we always know Nintendo does Nintendo. And right. In its only other world. It does its only thing.
Right.
And that's be Nintendo. And it gives zero Fs about what the rest of the world is doing.
Exactly.
Because we love their products and everything they do. So now it's really watching to see how Sony steps up their game. What they're going to be doing. Because we already know that, like, 2022, Xbox is coming to slay. It is just like, that's it. We're owning this. This is our year. That's the way that I'm seeing it. And, you know, we've had so many conversations that, you know, with the Xbox Game Pass improving time and time again and just smashing it, like, it's turned me, who's not the biggest Xbox person, into an absolute fan because I love the service that they offer. And PlayStation is just so far behind on that. Does it have great games? Yes, but the service can do so much more considering how much I'm paying or the subscription service. I mean, Xbox has proven that. So I'm just incredibly interested to see what's possibly in Sony's playbook.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things I wanted to do with this episode, bonus episode, so we're not going to be too long-winded here. I want to touch on some of the things that we saw in the New York Times article, and we can touch on those things, and from there we'll wrap up, you know, how we're feeling going forward. So the Blockbuster acquisition announced on Tuesday, which is the time of recording this, would catapult the company into a leading spot in the $175 billion gaming industry. Okay, and I know you briefly touched on the harassment stuff that was happening with the accusations and the discrimination. Can you amplify that a little bit, and then we'll move on from that?
So that's still going on, and I hope people don't forget about it, because that is still a huge issue. I mean, Phil Spencer's has touched on it. I mean, even before we recording, we brought up how he was saying that it's just not acceptable. There needs to be changes. And I guess if you can't convince a person to change and you can't directly affect it, you know what you do? You buy the company and you make those changes yourself.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of people still want Kotek out. And I personally stand behind that. I'm in support of these employees, and I think it's ridiculous that there's still no changes in that front. I mean, Kodak has stated that he'll be there for as long as he needed, as long as, like, you know, the transition goes smoothly. You know what? I mean, I'm not a big person. I'm not going to pretend that I know how these acquisitions and transitions go. But I feel once it's on there and the movement's going forward, you got Phil Spencer. You really needed? Really? Come on.
Yeah, that's
so be like that. That's where I'm saying. So I hope in all of this, like if it was me, man, you can go into retirement already. Just leave.
Yeah, there was one tweet that I saw that showed how much he would get if he left. I mean, he's paid regardless. Whether he stays or whether he leaves, Kodak is paid regardless. Another thing that I saw in this particular thing that we highlighted, Microsoft framed the deal as strengthening the company's hand in the so-called metaverse. And then we also remember that Facebook rebranded to Meta. So the thing that I got there, I want to hear your thoughts on this as well, is anything that is happening with technology, Microsoft will not be behind in any way, shape, or form. What are your thoughts on that?
So that's the part that really interested me, because, again, as like this whole digital world, the metaverse starts developing, you mean people are learning as it happens, you know? It's not like there's some history for us to go back on to be able to build our opinions off of that. So I find that when they say that they want to strengthen the company's hand in the so-called metaverse, what does that mean? Like, what are they looking into? Like, what are they, like, do they want to make their own metaverse to combat, you know, whatever Facebook is doing or Meta is doing? Because, you know, when it comes to the digital stuff and coming out, you mean Facebook or Meta, I don't even know what to go by them anymore. I think next month they're officially going to be called Meta. I think that's really weird. That's my personal thing. They are capitalizing and making sure that they have a good stronghold on VR and AR. Now, with Microsoft saying that they want to get into that, get a good grasp on it, and like you said, they don't want to be behind. They want to be the standard. That's always been Microsoft. They want to be the standard of what to expect. And considering that in the past, and I mentioned this in our last episode too, that Microsoft showed no interest in wanting to jump into VR. They felt it wasn't there. And now they do? Now they want to?
Okay, so with what you're saying right now, I think it's interesting, because there's the ship and then there's the speedboat mentality, right? So it's fair to say they have enough money to buy what they need to buy to get into the game and never seem like, you know, they're down 20 points and they're really trying to catch up and it's hopeless, right? So they can just buy what they need to buy to get back in after doing, you know, research for whatever it is, whether it's metaverse or anything else. Now, their cloud services have been more on the business side. We didn't touch on that yet. The Azure, you know, product. And most of that stuff, I'm sure, is going to be used in, you know, the gaming side of things as well. So I think that, as you said, now they do. And I think because they can buy anything to be in the game, it's not going to take long for them to make any major decisions after, you know, some meetings here and there. Even if it takes a year is still fast to make a decision to be in the game of something, right? Now, when you look at Meta and Facebook and those things, Microsoft doesn't have, from what I understand, an actual, you know, VR headset, right?
No, it doesn't.
They don't, right? But Facebook does. So at some point, I wouldn't be surprised if they find a way to either get into that market as well, because the murmurings for last year was that they were getting into the graphics, you know, the GPU world also. So they have a whole bunch of things that they're getting into. They're getting into the GPU market. They're buying all these companies, you know, Bethesda, that whole, you know, thing was one. Now you have this whole thing with Activision, you know, publishing and Activision Blizzard. So I'm never going to count them out because of the fact that they have money to make those acquisitions. And then the other thing too to mention, as I'm thinking about it, is the fact that the differences between Sony and Microsoft and their philosophies will show us between now and the next 2 to 3 years what really matters to them, right? So playing everywhere and all that, games is Microsoft. We're not necessarily seeing that with Sony, right? So with the pandemic, we saw, you know, we have to make some adjustments to start having our games on other platforms and then go from there. Now we see God of War and we have all those things. So I'll just land there for now. Just want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to see Microsoft get more into the game of VR and AR technology and gaming. They really are. As much as I am a Sony fan, Microsoft has been there for a long time. They've been at the forefront. They have been great competition to improve what Sony has brought to the table. And, you know, I would love for somebody else to come in and take that from Facebook. I am not, and I probably never will be a huge Facebook fan. Do I love, you know, the VR products that they have? Well, they didn't necessarily come out of it. They bought Oculus. So, but now that they have it, I mean, I love the Quest. I love their introduction to making VR affordable to more people, and that people are enjoying it. And VR fitness has been a huge thing for people since, you know, going to quarantine, since the whole entire pandemic started. So to see Microsoft come in and rattle that cage that Facebook has been dominating for a long time. I mean, there are other VR headsets, but they are just out of that price point. If anybody can do it, I feel that Microsoft can definitely throw in the gauntlet there and definitely shake it up. And I would absolutely love to see that. And if they happen to be like the end all be all, that people will end up, you know, really seeing and taking VR a little bit more seriously and seeing that it really isn't going anywhere. Neither is this, you know, metaverse that's coming out. If Microsoft can do that, I'm all for it. I really am. I guess to me, for them and hearing and seeing in the past that they just weren't interested in it, and now that they are, I just want to see what they come up with. I want to see how that dynamic has changed for them. And, you know, they have so much, you know, resources available to them now. They have teams that can go into it, and you know what? They don't. They can buy them.
Absolutely. So, in the same vein of what we're talking about right now, so Phil Spencer said recently that whatever the metaverse may end up being, gaming will be at the forefront of making that mainstream. He also said that Call of Duty is one of the amazing entertainment franchises on the planet. And then the other thing I wanted to hear your thoughts on as it relates to Call of Duty and how it was announced, you know, last year, fourth quarter, and the fact that the branding of Call of Duty, even the messaging, you know, barely had any Activision on it based on the things that was going on, you know, at the particular, you know, offices and whatnot. So I'm almost inclined to believe that even then, maybe they were strategically placing that to make sure that wouldn't be a damper on this particular announcement, because it didn't just happen overnight. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely agree, because I mentioned that earlier. This wasn't something that happened in the last couple of weeks, let alone in the last couple months. Like, to get to this point where you'd be like, okay, we're going to go through with this, this has to be at least a year's worth, at the very least, of conversations. And both parties looking how it could benefit them. Just to see, I definitely think leaving out and kind of slyly not having Activision so directly tied to Call of Duty in this last this last version definitely, I think, has to play more into, you know, all of these allegations that are coming out. But I think it had to do a lot with stockholder prices. Okay. I think that's like the biggest part of it, and how it will benefit them. And then, yeah, I do agree that during the conversations that they were possibly having, maybe over lunch, that like, hey, we want to go through with this, but you got to get this sorted.
Right.
That's pretty much it.
Okay. Okay. Definitely cool on that. So federal regulators, monopolies, deals being anti-competitive. I know we have some additional thoughts there. Do you think this is overkill? From what it says here, that the Federal Trade Commission and also the Justice Department recently announced a new effort to broaden how they should determine if deals are anti-competitive. What are your thoughts on there? Do you think this is too much?
As far as which side? As far as them being acquiring Activision or
As far as them acquiring Activision, and if they decide to, you know, buy another big company, you know, like, do you think that it'll be a monopoly?
Where do you draw the line?
Yeah, exactly. Where do you draw the line? Do you think this is crazy enough, or do you think that they're going to continue? Because we thought that they were going to hold out, not necessarily see something this early, you know, to, as far as an acquisition. And this is one of the biggest ones yet, right? So where, as you mentioned, you know, where would the line be drawn at this point? Should it be drawn?
I think it should be. I would be absolutely shocked, 100% shocked, if next year Microsoft acquires another studio.
Okay.
I really absolutely would be. And again, this is also one of my concerns too, as a gamer. I don't want them to make, like, I'm sure all the titles that are being worked on, the ones that we know, the ones that we don't know, I feel confident that they're like, okay, if it was deemed before we did this acquisition, that was going to be on all of these platforms, I feel confident that they would stick with that. But going forward after that, anything new? I don't want to see it just being, this is an Xbox exclusive. Only this and only us. Like, I don't want to see that. That would upset me. But nothing's going to stop them from being able to do that. They own it. So they have the right to do that. So at some point, yeah, there has to be a line drawn. And I don't know who makes the decision. I don't know if it's stakeholders. I don't know if it's Phil Spencer. I really don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'll go ahead.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, because I still want to be able to experience this. Like, I love my PlayStation still. I love my Nintendo Switch. I know there's some games there, like Overwatch 2 is supposed to be on, apparently available on Nintendo Switch. I won't play it on there, but there are people are, and then, you know, there's certain titles that you kind of expect to be across all platforms.
Mm-hmm.
To take that away, not a big fan of that. Absolutely not. So I think, like, this acquisition, I think, is definitely going to be the biggest one. It's the biggest one in history right now, as far as I'm aware. I can't picture them doing another big one like this. I can't. And I don't think I want to.
I can. I will be shocked. I can. I'm just going to be like, okay, it is what it is at this point. I'm going to play my games where I want to play them anyway. So to me, it really doesn't affect me on a day-to-day, right? But it does affect the individuals who work for these studios and these companies. And I hope that, you know, they're able to keep their jobs and do what they need to do for their families. But for me, you know, I think the last Call of Duty, which is Vanguard, is one of the best ones to date. You know, it's simplified. I just love what they did with that particular thing. I don't recall ever, so let's just put it this way. Let's just talk about this part. I don't ever recall caring about who published the game and why, right? It only became a conversation when we started, you know, getting behind the mic, right? But when I'm playing Spider-Man or when I'm playing whatever I'm playing, or even when I'm watching movies, I don't even know half of the studios and what they're doing and how the movie came about. I don't know who worked on Eternals. I couldn't tell you who worked on, you know, who's working on the Batman right now. I don't know. You know, maybe certain directors, I may like, you know, how they do things, or even some composers like Hans Zimmer. But outside of that, I don't know what's happening in those spaces, right? But what I do know is when I turn on my PC, okay, and I open up the Battle.net application, I'm going to play Call of Duty there, okay? And then maybe my friends will play with me at some point, you know, with crossplay and those things as well. And that's where I'm at. I'm not necessarily focusing so much on the small things, you know, that are big things, right? But we talk about these things because we love the industry and we love the excitement that's happening around it. But outside of that, it doesn't necessarily affect my day-to-day on how I'm playing. But as you mentioned earlier, the console war stuff, it really goes for the individuals who want to harbor tension that is not even required at this point, right? As it relates to the industry and how the games are played. I love the fact that you love your PlayStation 5. If I get a system at this point, it would be the PS5 as my next system. There's no reason for me to get an Xbox console right now based on how things are set up. Steam is doing amazing things. They have the handheld coming out, and Microsoft is valued at more than $2.3 trillion at this point, second only to Apple. So random thoughts there. What do you got?
So, okay. Not to put this like... Sony is always going to be there. Sony will always find a way. Sony is not going anywhere. So to go back on the antitrust laws and the federal regulations and, you know, maintaining control over this market, what about like services that are up and coming still that are having a rough start? Like, what does it mean for like Amazon Luna or Google Stadia? That's what I want to know.
Okay.
Is that if there's a new platform or a console that is coming up, but then the studios that they thought that, oh, you know, I wish I could have a Call of Duty on here, or I wish I could have Diablo on this platform, but it's owned by Xbox. Does Xbox have the right to say, like, it's on our platform? Thanks for trying. Like, what does that mean for those services? What does that mean for us? I mean, both Luna has, I think, has done better than Stadia. But they're relatively new. You have Amazon, you have Google wanting to get into the space. Both are really big companies. But when, you know, the games that you want to offer, wish that you could offer on your service, are owned by one singular franchise. Mm-hmm. What happens? Like, where? What happens there? What do they do? That's the part that I'm also interested in.
So for me, just looking at it from things that we've seen, you know, in the past, if the service provides what it needs to provide for the niche audience that it's serving, and it's able to be successful and profitable, it'll be around. You know, Amazon Luna will remain where it is, unless, you know, they're acquired in some way, shape, or form, or they're sold off to another company or a subsidiary or something like that. And then you have Google Stadia. You know, maybe they'll make improvements where they need to make improvements to make it more attractive for people to use that particular service. But there were a lot of changes already made from Stadia when it started out to where it is right now, right? To try to keep it going or to keep it even profitable. So I think that if the service provides value and they can profit from that, it will remain either what it is now, you know, as we know, Amazon Luna, or not, right? If it's not profitable or they can't do anything with that particular service. We see it done with games all the time. And I think the same mentality applies to when services are not necessarily meeting the standards of the company or the expectations of the company by way of profits, right? So we see games already that have disappeared from Amazon. You know, they'll try to, you know, bring a game out, the game will come out, they'll do a demo for a long time, they'll do a beta for a while, and they realize that it's not going to be as profitable as they thought it would, or the user base is not as interested in the product that they put you know, millions and, you know, maybe billions, depending on the thing, to bring out to market. So that's how I look at it. You know, it's either going to be profitable or not. If God of War was not going to be profitable on a PC side of things, and they didn't have to. So I'm thinking the pandemic revealed a lot for not just, you know, us as, you know, living in our homes, not working for gaming companies, but it revealed a lot for gaming companies to pivot, to make decisions too. So they decided, you know what, based on everything that we're seeing, and we don't have anything in a pipeline right now, we might as well take these games that we have behind these, you know, quote unquote exclusives, and make it available to other platforms, because we can get money. We can be profitable on it on another platform. And I think every company does it for every product that they come out with. That's what I'll land there.
I get what you're saying, but I guess I'm coming from, like, yeah, Amazon has not. Amazon's struggling on the game development side here. And I just still want to see that competitive nature, and that if somebody comes up with a great console, that they have the ability to have games that we love on their platform. And that could be next year, that could be 5 years from now. I just want that availability to still be there and not be locked behind, well, this company owns this studio and it's for their platform. You can't have it.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that monopoly.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So now you'd be looking at a top three. You'd be looking at Sony, Tencent, and Microsoft if this transaction goes through, which is, you know, absolutely incredible. Like, just when you think about that, then you think about Minecraft, and you think about Candy Crush, and you start naming some of the titles now that they have. And then even are we going to see, you know, Xbox Game Pass and Call of Duty, you know, day ones, you know, from now on? We don't know. We'd have to see, right? So there's a lot that's happening right now in this particular thing. And there was another thing I saw in this particular article. It says, you know, our goal is to allow the content to reach as many players as possible. I agree that they've been on that train for a long time now. Thoughts?
And I will hold them to that, to make sure that maintains true, unless they mean that we're looking to get as many of the gamers into our ecosystem. So then they will have as many gamers as possible reaching. But I hope that continues to maintain to be true for a long time.
Yeah, and even we didn't even talk about the $130 billion in cash reserves.
Can I just have like half a million? I mean,
that's a lot of money.
Even if you give me half a million, you still have $103 billion.
That's a lot of money.
I'm just saying. You know, okay, so the one acquisition that I was really hopeful for Xbox to get, at this point, I don't care if it's Sony, and I don't care if it's Microsoft who gets it, because I think it would be great. It'd be better if it was licensed out to them. But I was really looking forward to the acquisition of Discord.
Okay.
And I know that at one point, Xbox or Microsoft was really in the talks for it. Nothing was like set in stone, but there were talks.
They were
like, Discord was cheaper than Activision, but, you know.
Didn't Discord do something with PlayStation at some point? I don't know what that was about. I'd have to
maybe they were in talks with them too.
Yeah, I have to do a little bit more digging for that. I don't know why I thought they had some kind of partnership or integration. Not necessarily a buyout or anything like that.
There needs to be some type of integration. I mean, I know that Guilded is like kind of trying to compete with Discord, but Discord is still the go-to for like a lot of stuff. I would love to see that app on one of their platforms, or to be licensed out to both of them, and then just better communications. I'm sorry, but Discord has better comms than Xbox Party Chat or the PlayStation Chat. That was one acquisition I'm still looking forward to. I don't care who does it.
Yeah, so this is May 3rd, 2021. Jim Ryan, president and CEO, announcing PlayStation's new partnership with Discord. And this was on the SIE.com website. So they do have a partnership with Discord. Not
Why
a buyout.
Why isn't it on my PlayStation then?
Pardon me?
Why isn't it on my PlayStation then?
I don't know. But this
Why
says,
is it that one of my benefits of my Discord Nitro over here, whatever it's called, gets me Xbox Game Pass.
So here's what it says. Popular communication service will integrate with your social experience on PlayStation beginning early next year. So you're probably looking at either February or March if it's first quarter.
I'll make it happen now.
Yeah.
Exactly. First quarter now.
Exactly.
Head.
Exactly. So there was something.
But either
something.
Way, that's an acquisition I would cheer up and down for. There's a lot changing. I feel like this year for gamers, for the entire gaming industry, Microsoft definitely shook that cage. I'm very interested about how this year plays out. I'm very interested to be at E3 for this next year.
If they have it, right? If they have it, right. That's
pretty sure around this time I said the same thing, and you know what? No E3.
Yeah, if they have it. So there was a pledge here for $250 million towards increasing employee diversity. Said it would strengthen anti-harassment policies, right? This is under the Blizzard Entertainment subsidiary. I'm just going to read some quick hits here. Spencer wrote in November that he was disturbed about everything that was going on there. So we did touch on that already. We mentioned that the 12 to 18 months for the deal to close, Kotick will still be around until then. So that's what you're looking at there. And then we look at all the acquisitions, right? So we see the acquisition for Bethesda, right? We see Zynga recently, okay? We see this big one that we just got today with Activision. And then we also shared our thoughts on potentially bigger ones happening in the future. But this one was pretty big, and some people are speculating, and I think we're pretty much done with most of the stuff in this article. Some people were speculating what PlayStation might do in their acquisitions in the near future. They were saying things like speculating, you know, Square Enix and things of that nature. But I don't think the philosophy is the same. That's my opinion. Your thoughts on those things?
I wouldn't be surprised if Sony bought Square Enix. I'm pretty sure they sold majority of their stocks to Square Enix, though. Like, I want to say like 2014, 2015. I don't know the full history about that one, but if someone's gonna buy a studio, Square Enix is definitely at the top of that list. But then that's where we get into like which studio can like has the most money to go buy whatever it wants.
Yeah, I'm really happy.
Studios, I guess.
I'm happy. I'm happy that I get to play the games the way I want to play them. And there's individuals right now, and I have to remember that there's individuals right now who are excited for, you know, Xbox and Xbox Game Pass and everything that they're doing as a company and the services that they're providing, and they have no idea that this took place today.
It definitely rocked the world.
It definitely rocked
the world.
I
woke up to your messages just like...
Yes, you did.
You know, I'm like, it is too early for this.
I was losing my mind. I was like, I can't believe this. Yeah, I barely slept today because of it too. But I mean, this is what we do, you know? We talk about the games that we love and the industry and so many different ways and you know, platforms and things like that, but this is huge, I'm here for all of it.
Same.
So that's
definitely
all.
A lot to look forward to.
Absolutely, that's all I got. Any final thoughts on this?
I think the biggest thing. I mean, yeah, it's a big acquisition and it's a huge price point there. I still don't think I play a lot of Activision games. I think the only Blizzard game that I'd be interested in seeing coming out is StarCraft III.
Okay.
That's where I'm at with this. Let's go. I had a buddy of mine who quote retweeted this whole thing, the big news, and he said StarCraft, StarCraft, StarCraft. I replied to him with StarCraft two more times, and I'm like, you got to say it five times so it comes true.
Right, right. I think this is dope. So no Call of Duty for you?
No. I'm good.
It's good. I like the last one.
I think from that side, for like big title games, really is, I guess, Overwatch 2. That's the only thing that's really coming to my mind for the big titles. I would love a StarCraft 3. That'd be my top two games that I hope.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, so, I mean, that's all I got. So, guys, make sure you check out Daniela. Where can they find you, Daniela?
You can find me on Twitter, Twitch, TikTok, Miss DJM.
Awesome. You can find me at Uriah. You can find me at Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A. And also, check out the club on Clubhouse, the Alliance Academy. We talk about different things in there, YouTube, gaming, and some other things that I plan to have by way of conversation there. And in the near future, there may be 3 pods this week, I think. It's a busy week already and right out of the gate, but I'm definitely excited about that. TheShowRadio.info, TheShowRadio.info, and that's all I got. Daniela, take us out.
Thank you guys for joining us for this special episode of 605, and I think we're going to make our 700. If we're going to keep this momentum, 700 this year, I hope. But thank you guys for hanging out with us and checking us out. Until next time, bye.